If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for This Week in Chicago History, and if you think it's hot out, well, you should have been around. Actually, you shouldn't have been around. This week in 1995, Anna DeVlantis with more on that. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Bob. No joke. This week, 1995, definitely marks a tragic time in our city's history. Deadly heat wave that gripped our city from July 12th to July 16th, 1995. The blistering hot temperatures, high humidity. There was very little night cooling, as you'll recall. And the high reached 106 officially at Midway Airport during that five-day stretch of time. And in that time, the city recorded 739 heat-related deaths, many of them elderly folks, underlying health conditions, and no air conditioning, and really people weren't checking in on them. We didn't have the well-being checks that we institute now when we have severe weather situations. It was so tragic because so many lives were lost, and the city was really completely caught off guard, kind of in denial that this was all happening. It just the city departments weren't necessarily talking to each other, so it wasn't being recorded the way you saw it. We didn't see the tragedies, you know, piling up with the bodies at the medical examiner's office until he started to really, get upset about it. Mm-hmm. And Tom Skilling did this look back on for WGN TV. He talks about the extreme weather conditions and how it was a perfect storm because it was combined with these gaping holes in the city's emergency response systems.
Yeah, the actual temperature got up to 106. That was not the index. That, right. That was the actual temperature,
no.
Wasn't it?
Wasn't the feels like. It was actual temperature at Midway. And just, as you recall, don't you remember, it just never cooled down. It never felt like we lost that heat, that feeling that we were just, it just wasn't, it was never a breeze, you know. It just, such a tragic time. But as Tom Skilling points out, there are a lot of lessons learned and systems improved because of it.
Yeah, something about this time of year, too, mid-July was when about 27 tornadoes hit the Chicago area in 2024. Mm. Let's talk about something a little more pleasant, the one-day food fest that started this week in 1980.
Yeah, the Taste of Chicago was just one day back then, 45 years ago, Bob, and my, how has it evolved over the years? You know, you think about it, then back in 1980, the first year, held on the Mag Mile, a restaurateur Arnie Morton of Morton Steakhouse fame convinced Mayor Jane Byrne to say, hey, we need to block off Michigan Avenue. I went to New York and they were celebrating all their great restaurants. We need to do the same thing here. And so he got the okay, and that very first year, some of the names participating were Eli's Cheesecake, you had Lou Malnati's and Vienna Beef Hot Dogs, some of the just classics of Chicago, the original Rainbow Cone, Fireplace Inn, Gaylord Indian Food, and the Pump Room. Lots of variety, big celebration of our food, and people loved it, Bob. They expected 100,000 people to attend that one-day food fest, and 250,000 people showed up. Mm. Showed up hungry, too, and they ran out of food by noon at some of the restaurant vendors. So just turned into a huge success, and they decided to then expand it the very next year and make it multiple days and add bands and just make it larger and a bigger celebration of food. Just kind of cool, though. Do you remember, though, back in the day when you go to the Taste of Chicago, there was this kind of thing about tasting exotic foods, like you'd have the turtle soups and the alligators, and there was even rattlesnake one year, and you'd have all these really, really interesting, unusual foods. So it wasn't just the pizza and the turkey legs, you know, there was really this celebration of absolutely everything. We have a short clip here, Bob. WTTW, the city's Department of Cultural Affairs from back then, describing what the Taste of Chicago was.
It was way too popular for just Michigan Avenue, though, wasn't it?
You had to go there. Went to Grand Park, and it just expanded and expanded. At one point, it was 14 days, I think, the Taste, and now I know we're doing it in September, and it's a little more cut down, but still, lots of cool stuff to check out at the Taste of Chicago tradition that I still love, I still enjoy.
Yeah, I know. I see you walking around with a turkey leg, Anna DeVlantis.
Not that, but I will taste unusual food.
Hang on, more This Week in Chicago History coming right up. A Chicago band hit number one this week in 2007. Anna?
Hey there, Delilah, Bob. I mean, that song has just survived the generations. My 13-year-old daughter knows all the words to it, so I was pretty surprised by that. But it hit the Billboard number one on the Billboard charts this week, 2007. Later went on to be nominated for Song of the Year.
Song of the Year, I would assume that would be before it dropped out. The Plain White Tees. So we have Anna back again.
Hey, Bob.
There you go.
Hello, Bob.
All right.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. Yeah, you got it. Song of the Year at the Grammys. And it's, you know, interesting because you think about it, not only the band from the Chicago area, they're Lombard natives who started playing together in high school, but there's such a great story about the person the song is written about, Delilah. She's a Chicago area woman, too, a Burbank native, and she met lead singer Tom Higginson at a local house party. He had a total crush on her, but she had a boyfriend at the time. Tom told her, I'm going to write a song about you, and she's like, yeah, right. He dropped off the song at her parents' house, and she was heading back to school at Columbia University, where she was a standout track star, a really impressive person, great student, too. Tom Higginson knew that she was going back, and so the song was sort of about this long-distance relationship that never happened. They both admitted they never dated. But fast forward to 2006, and 2007, and then that song was nominated for Song of the Year at the Grammys. The band invited Delilah to come to the Grammys with them, and they were saving her a seat. So here she is, Burbank native Delilah DeCrescendo, at the Grammys on the red carpet being interviewed while surrounded by the Plain White Tees.
Tom's a great guy. Hearing that story makes you want to hear it again. It makes the song fresh and new.
Totally does. It totally does. It's like, and then it's funny because they were performing a year ago, Bob, 2024, and someone shouted out, do you still talk to her? And he said, let me text her. And he reportedly sent her a message. Hey there.
Hey there.
Which seems fitting for the message to Delilah, the one woman who started the whole song. Kind of cool.
This week in 1989, big week in Chicago sports, wasn't it?
Jerry Krause, Jerry Reinsdorf, and the Bulls top brass all gathered to introduce new head coach Phil Jackson to the media, Bob, and it was July 10th, 1989. Interesting to go back and read how the characterizations of Phil Jackson by the local media at the time. He was largely unknown. He'd been assistant coach with the Bulls for 2 years, but they talked about his calmness and his low-key attitude, and it was a direct contrast to Doug Collins, who the Bulls had charged was very emotional, and he was unceremoniously fired, even though he was very popular. So enter the 43-year-old assistant coach who came up through the Knicks organization, and the papers called him a scholarly type. They said new Bulls coach is spiritual and intellectual, the kind of guy who takes mellow fishing trips and long hikes for extended periods of time. So he was this mellow guy, and you know, somebody who they're just trying to figure out. But by his second year, of course, the Bulls had the best record in the NBA, and Jackson, you know, just presided over that incredible run, six championships, and don't forget the last dance was pretty much a phrase he coined. He used that, and he talked about this was the end of a dynasty, and he invited the ESPN documentary crew in to document that final year, this dynasty coming to a close. He wanted basketball to remember it. Here is a clip from Phil Jackson.
Seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And just think about how he was portrayed. I just love going back and reading about what the impression of him was back
then,
Bob.
This week in Chicago history with Anna Delontis. More next Wednesday. Thank you, Anna.
Talk to you then, Bob.